First Samuel chapter 23. And I had a little paper here that totally disappeared. Don't you love that, brother, when you have notes and the notes disappear out of you? Oh, good night. No, not that one. It is a very, very important. Oh, I found it. Praise the Lord. God's good. Oh, goodness. It's all those papers I had, and it kind of, it will mess me up. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And we continue our journey through the book of Samuel. And, of course, on Wednesday nights. And here's one thing that I always loved when I was in church, of course, before I became a pastor, was Bible study and going through the books of the Bible. And we've been going systematically. And I loved it. When I was in college, it helped me tremendously because my pastor used to go through the Bible. And you know what? One thing that I like about going through the Bible systematically like this from chapter to chapter, you don't choose the topics. The topics choose you. You know, it's like, I'm going to pick this one and that one. It's right there. So anyway, so tonight we're going to see On the Run. That's the title of the message. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. Let's look at verse 1. Then says, and they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Look what it says, right? It's very important. Inquire of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David went, and David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the power of prayer. We can, Lord, come to you. And sometimes, Lord, when we even doubt, we can go to you again and again and again and ask you. And, Lord, if that what you want us to do. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for East Bay Baptist Church. Thank you for this dear people. Thank you for those who are following us on social media very, very faithfully. And I just pray, Lord, bless this evening. May everything we do and say bring honor and glory to your name. And give us something tonight we can take home with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we look here on the run, of course, we're talking about David. David is on the run here. But as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Samuel, we notice that Saul doesn't give up on killing David. Saul is a man that started good, but now is in full force trying to get rid of David. His anger and his hatred towards David continues to grow as he continues to pursue David to kill him. And let me tell you something right here. We need to be careful not to let our anger go out loose. Because the more you let your anger go loose, the worse it gets. Because anger turns to rage, and when you rage, you don't even listen to anybody. So we have to be careful about anger. And of course, we see about this man, Saul. He started okay, but now is he's so devoted to kill David, and he doesn't listen. We know that last week, he killed all the priests of Nob. He killed that whole place called woman, children. I mean, everybody died because one man, his anger with another man. And of course, David keeps walking away from him. So there's something for us to learn here tonight about anger. Anger is not, if it's not checked, it can turn to hate. And hate, if it's not checked, can turn into hatred. And hatred will consume you and consume me. Saul's mind was consumed with the idea of killing David. He is so far gone to give up on killing David. But it's a sad thing right here. He knew that the kingdom was taken from him. He was been told of that, but he doesn't give up. talking about having a hard head here. God was protecting David every time he tried to get to David, and we're going to see it here in this passage as well. But this man is so devoted. He wanted to kill this guy. He wanted to kill David. So we find David here on chapter 23 on the run. He's been on the run. So David is on the run, and Saul is on a hot pursuit after him. So David is tired. He's weary. He's worn out, and he's desperate. He desperately needs some encouragement here. But tell me, if you have somebody behind you chasing you all the time, eventually you're going to say, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm tired of this. You know? I mean, you ever see movies like that? People are like, I'm not going to run anymore. I don't have no more energy. And it's interesting here, if you think about David and Saul here, David runs and hides somewhere, and he's there for a little while, but the people of the land, when they see him, guess what they do? They go tell Saul. Here comes Saul. So you have to find another place. So David faces different obstacles in each location, and through David experience at each location, we learn something here. But I went ahead of myself right here. So God, in this passage, tonight we meet David at three different locations. We're going to look at him right here. Is Keilah and Ziph. And Maon is three locations we're going to look at tonight, and where the Lord protects David the whole time, and as he goes to these locations. So let's look at this from several points tonight, okay? Number one, trusting God with His Word. Trusting God with His Word. The Bible tells us that David inquired of the Lord. What does that word mean? The word means that David took the issue to the Lord in prayer. He inquired of the Lord, meaning he went to the Lord and he talked to the Lord. While you and I, if you're a Christian here, I believe we talk to the Lord. I mean, I talk to Him daily. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I'm talking to Him. David inquired of the Lord. Why? He has a problem. And you know why? He takes the problem to the Lord. I tell you what, it will be much easier for all of us if we take our problems to the Lord. Instead of trying to resolve in our own mind, intuition, think what is right, what is wrong, in our own mind, why don't we dig it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have me to do? That's what he says right here. He inquired of the Lord about this issue. So, not once, but twice. You know, it goes for those. One time I had a Christian man that said, hey, I've been praying for this thing. I forgot. I lost count how many times I pray for this thing. If God is all-knowing, why do I have to keep praying? I was like, that's a great question. You know, brother, you want the answer? And he said, yeah, yeah. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. You know, it's not that God does not listen to us. It's not the right time for Him to answer the prayer. That's what it is. It's sometimes, you know, we ask you, we want to hear now. You know, like, we live in a fast society. Look at the fast food places. You know, we want to hear now. Give it to me. Very impatient people. And God says, child, I heard you. Keep asking me. When this time I will answer. And right here we see twice. Why twice? Because one time he asked, the second time the people is afraid. And of course might create some doubt in David's heart, and he goes and asks the Lord again. And what the Lord does? Go. See, folks, we also find strength in the Lord first of all by seeking God's will through the Word of God in prayer. We learn this here with David here as he inquires of the Lord. You know, I think we do ourselves good if we go to the Lord and spend time on His Word as well. You know, the sad thing, I'm going to tell you this, I'm not saying that's you here at the church, but I'm saying the average Christian doesn't even read his Bible. The average Christian. And prayer is something that is not a regular thing that they do. And that's sad. And that's sad because we have access to the throne of grace, we have that words of our God. Why don't we use that? Why don't we pray? Why don't we seek the Lord like David did right here? So as we look at David interaction with the Lord, in this passage, we find two lessons for ourselves about inquiring of the Lord. We should be bold in trusting God's promises and wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. So letter A under that first point, trusting God's promises. The city of Keilah was located about 3 miles south of Adullam, where the cave of Adullam, where he was. Look, folks, I've never been in the region. I'm just giving you information that I study about it. Okay? So, never been there, all right? So I assume it's true. Okay? So it was a valley city in the outskirts of Judah, very close to the Philistine border. It was only about 12 miles from Gad, one of the Philistines' capital city. So when David hears that the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, he asks God whether he should go to help these people or not. I mean, that's a legit question. I know it's battle. Of course, if he takes his men there, some of them might lose their lives there, of course. And in his concern, so he goes, he does the thing that we all should do. Ask the Lord. Pray and ask. And I tell you what, you know when you pray and you have that conviction in your heart, that's the way you should go, and you feel very strong about it, and when you pray is there, I mean, you're like, is that the Lord telling you? Is that what I want you to do? Of course. And we have to, sometimes we have to pray and make sure that's the Lord, or not us telling ourselves. So David asked the Lord again and again, and we see here, and look what it says in verse 4, and the Lord answered him and saying, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Wow. So now David has a word from God. He has a promise from God. And he responds to God's word. David and his men boldly go to the Philistines. And God grants them success. Let me tell you this. That's what God says. God's promises always come true. And God says, go. God's going to go with us. We have to believe that God's promises are real. And if God promised that, and if the promise comes to pass, listen, God is not going to let us down. God does not lie in His word to us. He's truthful. And when He said to David, you know what he did? David get up and did exactly what God told him to do. You know what? That's what you need to do too. Now, David knows for sure what he needed to do, and he boldly goes and does it. You know, what happened to sometimes when we go like this? I know the Lord have me to do this. I've been praying about this. 1 year goes by. I know the Lord have me to do this, but I'm praying about this. 5 years goes by. The Lord wants me to do this, but I'm praying about this. 20 years goes by. Well, I got to do something about it. Now, just obviously, the Lord's going to tell you to go or not. The Lord's going to put in your heart. He's going to put that strong feeling in your heart. That strong thing. You need to do that, and we do it. So, I was sitting down. And it was a bunch of people in this store that I was. And the Lord put in my heart, that person over there needs a track. That particular person needs a track. Hey, Lord, but I got to do shopping. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's like, you know what you're doing? You're excusing yourself and you're arguing with God. Because, you know, and you're walking away and like your heart is burning. You're like, okay. Hey, I got something here I want you to have. When you have a chance, could you read this for me? Oh, thank you. So like, you know, like, oh, wow, a mountain of sweat just came out of you, and you feel like, oh, walking on feathers, it's like you feel out of place. You ever felt like that? You know what? The Lord is telling us to do something. You know what? And sometimes we question ourselves so much when God says, just do it. I'll take care of you. And most of the time you hear, thank you. And we think the worst, but most of the time is thank you. Now, even though David is not yet king, he is already acting like the king, of course. Saul should be the one saving Keilah from the Philistines, not David. But Saul is busy trying to kill David. David is doing the job of a king, and the other one is too busy pursuing David. Isn't that amazing? David is already fulfilling, like I said, the role of God as for him in advance. So Look at this in Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no men pursue it, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen to that. So David asked boldly because he trusted God's promise to him. As Christians, we also are called to be bold. Listen, if we believe God's promises to be true, we should be bold. We should not shrink in and be afraid of people or what people is going to say. So like Sunday, when you come with your ugly sweater, don't shrink up and change clothes when you walk out of the church. Go out, be bold. It's like when people say, what are you doing with the ugly sweater? Oh, it's ugly, ugly sweater Sunday at my church. What a way to start talking. Like, you should come and we have a lot of fun there. You see that? Got to be bold for the Lord. So let it be on that first point, trusting God's guidance. We see this from verse 7 to verse 17. Not only we have to be bold trusting God's promise, but we also have to be wise as avoiding unnecessary danger. Folks, many times certain conflicts can be avoided if we are godly, if we use godly discernment and godly wisdom. Get this. Although boldness in response to God's promise is right and appropriate for us as Christians, we also need to be wise in avoiding unnecessary dangers. Look at this, and actually these verses right here, we're going to read about it, but it is true. You know, there are places, there are things, situations on which we have to be wise, how we do it, how we respond, how we talk, because God calls us to be like that. Look what it says in verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God had delivered him unto my hand, for he had he is shut in by entering into a town that had gates and bars. Look what Saul says right here. He's inside the town. The town had gates and bars. It had no way out. He's done. I'm going to kill him. Interesting. Look what it says in verse 8. And Saul called all the people together to war and to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. It says in verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to, what is the name of this guy? Abiathar. Thank you, brother. The priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant had certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down and thy servants had heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. You see that? See what happens? How we need to even face life? Go to the Lord and ask him. Go to the Lord and ask him. See what David right here? David didn't panic. David went to God. Then said David, look at verse 13. Then David and the men which were about 600 arose and departed out of Keilah and went whatsoever they could go. And it was told of Saul, and David was escaped from Keilah and forbid to go forth. So Saul find that David was there, but you know what? He said, now is the time. Now I'm going to take care of him. But you know what? Folks, let me put it like this. It pays when we pray. It pays when we seek the Lord. It does. You know what? We see David here. David asked the Lord, do I go there? And the Lord said, go. And when he heard that Saul was coming, guess what he said? Went back to the Lord and said, Lord, is he coming after me? Yes, he is. And you know what? Why is the question? Why the people of that town, after David and his men fought for them, why the people of that town was ready to give David up? Isn't that interesting? You say that these people are ungrateful. Isn't that what we say like that? Let me put it like this. Okay. So, Brother Rosado, I go and do something so nice to you. I mean, I do something, and you know, then in the end, you go, somebody's after me, and you go, I just hold you here until they come. That's exactly what's going on here. You know, until they come, I give it to you to them. So, Saul goes there, David goes there, send these people free. And now they're ready to give him to Saul. The question is, why? I think I know why. If you go to the previous chapter, what did Saul do to the people, to the priests of Nod? Kill them all. Not only the priests, he killed the children, the wives, the woman, and all the livestock. Kill them all. You see, you think this people was afraid that Saul was going to do the same thing to them? Probably. Probably. You're talking about a king with his army against a little town. They have no way out. They have no chance to win such fight. So David asked two questions here. Is Saul coming down to Keilah? Yeah. Will the people of Keilah deliver Saul to David to Saul? Yeah. So David inquires of the Lord. The Lord confirms to David that he is in danger, and David wisely withdraws. Jesus tells his disciples these words about us as Christians, how we should behave in this world. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and keep your finger in 1 Samuel 23. Look what it says there in Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 16. And this is how we should behave as Christians as well. Look what it says. Behold, oh, pay attention. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now imagine that now. Okay. You ever watch nature on TV? You ever watch lions and tigers and things? No, imagine like sheep and wolves. What's going to happen to the sheep? The wolf's going to have a heyday, right? What Jesus says right here, I send forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's the way the Lord wants us to act in this world. Wherever we go, we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we should not be troublemakers. We should not be the ones that go out there and start trouble with anyone. We just let the Lord take care of it. And then Jesus said, vengeance is mine, in the book of Romans, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what we do? Let him have it. So Jesus said, in dangers out there, and so we need to be wise as serpents. We need to be bold in trusting God's promise, but we also need to be wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. The key point for us here is that David inquired of the Lord. David doesn't do anything without checking with God. Let me tell you something, folks, here tonight. Let me tell you. Before we do anything with life, check with God. Pray, ask the Lord. In a moment, the Lord's going to answer you. A lot of times we do things, and when we don't like the results, we say, I should have prayed about this. You find yourself there? I should have prayed about this. Well, you know what? When we trust self and we put two and two together, we get our mat together and put the mat together, like it's going to happen. And we think everything's going to be all right. It doesn't happen that way. We need to ask the Lord to help us. We need to ask the Lord should I go there? Should I not go there? What do you want me to do? The Lord will give us the answer. So we see, number one, we see that, go back here to my point. Let's see. Trusting God with His Word. Number two. And I get there in a second. I'll give you the point. I'm already number three. Hold on there. Okay, there we go. Trusting God with our friendships. Trusting God with our friendships. With this from verse 14 to verse 18. We also find strength in God by having faith in God and fellowship with believers. We see this in our next section when David is in the desert of, what's the name of this place right here? Ziph. There we go, Ziph. So, we're going to see the friendships right here. Let me tell you, folks. Praise the Lord for friendships, isn't it? Praise the Lord when we have a friend for all seasons. A friend that you can count on. A friend that is always there. And praise the Lord for those friends. They understand you. Even when you're wrong, they're there for you. And they are good enough to come and correct you and say, hey, you were wrong. And in the end, you say, thank you for correcting me. You know, friendships. So, letter A then on that second point, faith in God through hard times. Faith in God through hard times. Look at verse 14. David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hands. So after withdrawing from Keilah, David and his son and his men kept moving from place to place. Can you imagine living like that? So you get up in the morning, you go, oh, what a nice day. Get up, let's get up, because Saul is after us. forget about breakfast. It's gone. They go on the run, right? That was the life of David and his men. They had to keep moving. You know why? Because there was people around every time they saw him. It's not like they had cell phones in those days. But people saw him and they go, hey, and travel from ear to ear. And he goes right to the king and he comes after David. You see, so David is hiding in the desert and Saul engages him in a deadly game of hide and seek and cat and mouse here. Day after day, Saul searches for him, but here is the key. God did not give David into Saul's hands. David was saved because God kept him saved. David was in God's hands and it was God who kept him from Saul's hands. Saul was pursuing after David day after day here. David could persevere day after day because God was with him. Let me remind you of this thing. You know, God is with you and with me. God is with us. And if we listen to the voice of the Lord, if we spend time in His Word, if we seek Him, if we talk to Him, He will guide us. David was a man of strong, unwavering faith. And let me tell you this. May we have the faith that David had. Was he perfect? No. Made many mistakes. But let me tell you, he was a man of faith. He was a man of unwavering faith. He loved the Lord. He believed in God. David was living through a hard time. Every way he turned, Saul was after him. Let me tell you this. It wasn't easy for David to say, Lord, you anointed me to be king. And I'm living in a hole in the ground somewhere, running from this crazy man. And where's the promise that you give me? He could have just stopped complaining to God, but he did not. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And you know what? We do good when we do that. What happened to Joseph? Sold like an animal. Literally. Put in jail innocently. And then what he did all that time? He trusted the Lord. In the end, it comes God with His rewards. I tell you what, I think we do good if we just trust God. Trust Him daily. Let it be faith in God with the fellowship, with the fellowship of godly believers. Look at verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come and thought to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Zim in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David unto the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and I shall be king of Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and thou also Saul my father know it. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. I tell you what, folks, praise the Lord for faithful friends. Praise the Lord for those who are our friends. In good times and bad times, they're there. You know, he was risking his life right there to go without his father knowing. If he got found out that he was talking with David, it could cost his life. But you know what? He loved David enough as a friend to go and encourage him. You know what? My pastor one time said this. I never forgot. A real friend is the one who walks in when everybody walks out. That's the one you know that he cares about you. Because we need those type of friends. Those who pray for you. Those who encourage you. Those who are there. Those who tell you you're wrong when you're wrong. You know, those are the friends that you need to have. A friend for all seasons. David had a friend in Jonathan. And Jonathan had a friend in David. There was a mutual friendship right here. And let me tell you, as David won for his life, Jonathan took time to go find David. I tell you what, praise the Lord for those type of friends. Jonathan was a friend for all seasons. Folks, that is the type of friend that you and I need. Not a friend for the occasions. We have many of those type of friends, don't we? I mean, there's all kinds of friends like that for special occasions or just occasions. But a friend that we can count on every time we need them. A friend that will laugh with you. A friend that will cry with you. That's the friend that you need. And let me tell you, folks, let me tell you this. Those kind of friends are hard to find. Let me tell you that. I'll be honest with you. Those type of friends are hard to find. Listen, please, none of us are meant to walk alone in this journey of life. And sometimes we need a little help from our friends. Jonathan helps David by reminding him of God's promise that David will be king. Think about it. He went there and need to remind his friend, don't forget God's promises. David, don't give up. Don't forget his promises, because he told you will be king and I'll be right next to you. Wow. He was in the throne of David, in the throne of Israel at that time, Jonathan's father. And he said, and my father knows. Why? Because it was told him to step down. Notice Jonathan's humility right here. You recognize that David will be the king rather than himself. He says, even his father Saul know this, which Saul himself will admit in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 20. But let me tell you, when we go against God's will, we always get that as the days progress and the years progress, only gets worse, doesn't get better. We might not think so, but it will get worse. And we're going to see here with this guy, eventually it will get worse. You see, this is the last recorded meeting between Jonathan and David. It doesn't mean they stopped being friends. It doesn't mean they stopped being friends. They're still friends. But that was the last meeting recorded in the Bible here. Maybe they met and it's not recorded in the Bible. But as we know, as we read, it was the last time. So, and of course, we know that Jonathan risked his life right here for that. Actually, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in the part from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness. So we need God. We need each other. We find strength in God by having fun in God and fellowship with one another as believers. Folks, just like David and Jonathan, we too need godly friends. Folks, I like to make friendship with God's people. You know why? Because we speak the same language. We understand our Savior. We understand our Bible. We understand why we live the way we live, the way we talk, the way we talk, the way we behave. We understand those things. The outside world, they don't understand you. You know, that's why if you start talking to them, many of them will laugh at you, make mockery, make kind of little jokes at you because of what you believe. They don't understand, you know, because of course they're not saved, they're blinded, and we know that. So we need God, we need each other, we need friendships to encourage one another in the Lord. So number three, the third point is trusting God's providential care and protection. Trusting God's providential care and protection. Let me say something about this. A lot of times we don't trust God, we trust ourselves. That's what we do. A lot of times that's what we do. We trust ourselves. When you find yourself going like, I'm going to do this, I can do this, I'm going to do that. You know what you're doing? You make your own plans because you're trusting yourself. Where's God in the midst of all that? I'll tell you what, one thing that I learned, of course, when having cancer, it taught me to get closer to the Lord. But working with stuff that is so expensive, and don't want to make mistakes. Even before, when I used to be honest with you, when I was first starting that job, the first year, I used to get the package and I looked and I saw the size of it and I literally began to, I could feel my hand shivering. And I was so concerned to mess it up because I know how expensive are those pieces. And I learned from that, like, okay, I need to pray. Lord, give me wisdom and discernment. Give me what I need to do this thing. And if I don't know, to ask the right people. You know, it helps you to understand you need God. And tell you what, the day goes much better when we start with God and we take Him throughout the day and end our day with the Lord. You say, well, and you're going to be perfect throughout the day. Oh, no, far from that. You know what you do? You ask God to forgive you. That's what we do. So what we do here, trusting God's providential care and protection. Now, letter A under that point. Be on alert for the enemy. Be on alert for the enemy. Look what it says in verse 19. Then came up the Zephites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the woods? Look at verse 20. Now therefore, king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed be of the Lord. Wow. You see that? For he have compassion on me. I pray thee, prepare ye, yet, and know that, and see his place where his hunt is, and who had seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. Now therefore, see verse 23, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass. And if he be in the land, I will search him and throughout all the thousands of Judah. So after Jonathan leaves here, David, the Zabtites come to Saul and offer to find David and hand him over to the king. Saul is touched by the offer right here. Wouldn't you? And he says, blessed be of the Lord. He tells them to go and make further preparation. He warns them to how crafty David is. David is not crafty. It's the Lord's protecting him. Not like he's crafty. It's the Lord protecting him. He's protecting his man. How can a person be so angry, so enraged over someone that doesn't see straight, doesn't put these thoughts together? And that's what we see here in this man. Folks, I can't help but reminds me of the great enemy who was pursuing God's people. He doesn't give up, for he's relentless. I'm talking about Satan here and his demons. Let me tell you this. We think that Satan takes a holiday or a day off and say, I'm a little tired pursuing these guys. I'm going to take a day off. He's not. You know what he's after? He's after your church. He's after your family. He's after you. And he doesn't stop until he destroys it all. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's the kind of man he is. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking he may devour. You ever see lions chasing deer or gazelle, whatever those animals? What they do? They crawl, they stop. They crawl, they stop in the ears. You know what they're doing? They're waiting for one just to move out. And they're, boom, they get him. And when they get him, he's done. And let me tell you, the Bible says we have to be sober to be in our right mind. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard, watching, see the enemy. Because if we are on guard, if we are vigilant, let me tell you, we're going to see it. If we begin to look through the eyes of the Bible, we're going to see the enemy. Get this, David knew that as long as Saul lived, he was going to be hunted. David knew there was no peace treaty between him and Saul. David knew that Saul was an enemy that he had to be in constantly on guard. And let me tell you, Satan is an enemy that doesn't give up, doesn't give in, and don't try to make peace treaties with him. It doesn't work. You know what he wants to do? He wants to destroy you. You know what Jesus said? He comes to kill and to destroy. Oh, we have to take those words literally because that's true. That's true. You know what we do? So what we do is say, well, how can I fight this enemy? All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6. We have, God gave us the right weapons to defeat this guy. You know what we do? Every day when we walk out of the house or we wake up in the morning, put the whole armor up. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded, about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So folks, we live in a strange world with sin in its every side. We live in an anti-God world. And let me tell you, we have the forces of evil pressing against us, let me tell you what, we can defeat it. We can be victorious, but don't put the weapons down. No soldier goes to war and put the weapons down. When they're in the front lines, they're ready to fight. So are we. Where are we here? Listen, heaven is our home, correct? We in a strange world. This is not our home, folks. This is enemy land. Don't put your arms down. Keep fighting. So, but I'm getting tired. That's when we have each other. That's when we have each other. And we encourage one another. Listen, folks, what are we doing here tonight? We encourage one another. We met last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, the gas tank is getting empty. You know what we need to do? We need to encourage one another. So we go to battle again. So when we're out there by ourselves, we see this ocean of humanity, and you feel like you're all alone. When it comes Sunday, here we're going to encourage ourselves again, because we need that. We need that. So we live in a strange world. Don't you think like I'm here forever? No, no. No, no. Folks, heaven is our home. We just here for a time. We are just ambassadors. We here to show Christ to those people that don't have Christ. But let me tell you, the enemy is after us. We need to fight him back. We're not going to run from him. Don't run from him. We have to stand. My dad used to say like this, don't run from your trouble. Face your trouble and resolve your problems. My grandfather used to say the same thing. Maybe my dad learned from him. I said, when you're in trouble, don't run away, because you know why? You run as much as you can, the problems don't get resolved. We don't run from the enemy. You know why? We face it. And we use the whole arm of God. You see, Saul, David right here, he knows that Saul is a vicious enemy. Let it be there. Be at peace, for the Lord is in control. Oh, goodness, this is a good one. The Lord is in control. Look what it says in verse 24. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, and David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, and in the plains of the salt of whatever name that is. What is that, brother? Yeshimon. Okay. Yeshimon. I'm going to have you come up here and say those names. I'm saying my way. I don't like anyway. Oh goodness! I have a preacher friend. He said to me, and he speaks better English than I can speak. And he said to me, he's like, I have a hard time going to the Old Testament. I said, why? Those names are tough. Those names are tough. I said, brother, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Oh goodness, I got my brother Tom over there. He helps me up when I get stuck. So anyway, so as we go see, we see peace for the Lord, for the Lord is in control. We see this from verse 24 to verse 29 here. And of course, he's right, find himself in the wilderness of Maon right here. So to be alert, the enemy seeks to destroy you, but also be at peace because God is in control. David in the desert of Maon, about 5 miles of Ziph, when Saul and his men entered the desert in hot pursuit. This is one of the great action scenes in the Bible. Actually, this is an interesting thing. Is David in one side of the mountain? Is Saul on the other side of the mountain? And this is the closest that Saul comes to get David. But let me tell you, God is in control. And we're going to see here this. God is in control. David's going right to the hands of Saul, and Saul's going to catch him right there. You know what? If we trust God, and if we have faith in the Lord, God is in control of us as well. Let me tell you, and it's amazing what happens here. So, let me go back here a little bit. So, Saul and his men is one side of the mountain, David on the other side of the mountain. These two forces are in collision course, and David is about to be captured. This is the closest Saul, like I said, has got to get David. But something happens here. Something happens here. Saul breaks off this pursuit of David and goes, why? Let's go. Here's a verse here I want to look for right here. Oh, look at verse 27. They're in pursuit. I know this is going to happen. David is going to fall in the hands of Saul. But look the way the Lord takes control of it. Look at verse 27. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wow. He's so consumed about getting David that he forgot to be the king of Israel. He literally forgot, and the enemy invades the land. And God uses that to let David go free. He says, coincidence? I don't think so. I think God is in control of the whole thing. You know, in the next chapter we're going to see, this is this battle with the Philistines. We're going to see what's going to happen to Saul. But interesting right here, the way God, in the right time, in the right moment, puts a messenger there. Listen, folks, this is not a cell phone call or whatever social media we have to call. This is a man that walked miles to get there, to that point. And he gets there at the right time. And you know what? What Saul told him he was going to do, it didn't happen. God is in control. Let me tell you, folks, I don't know where you are today, but God is in control. Go to Psalm 54 and verse 2. When you are in God's hand, you are in good hands. David later wrote about this incident in Psalm 54. This relates to this passage right here. Look what it says in Psalm 54, verse 2. Look what it says. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are rising up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Here's a pause that he makes there. Had you ever pray and make a pause, then pray again? Have you ever done that? And look what it says in verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with me, is with them that uphold my soul. So the strangers in this psalm are the Zephites right here, who betrayed David to Saul. David cried out to God for help, and then he pauses. That word, Selah, means here in this verse, is a place to pause and reflect. David pauses and reflects on the goodness of the Lord. He was about almost in the hands of Saul, but he pauses because he thinks about it. Lord, it was you that hold me, that protected me. I tell you, folks, we have a great God. We have a wonderful God. We can trust God. Listen, I'm saying this to you because this is the way I live. I'm not trying to be boastful right here. We need to trust God. We read His Word and we say, Lord, I want to apply Your Word to my life. But in order to do that, we need to trust Him. Trust Him not just here and there, but every day. Lord, give me one more day. Help me. Remind me throughout the day. Remind me to remember You. Because it's easy for us to forget Him. Lord, I want to know You throughout the day. Talk to me through the day. Remind me. I tell you what, today, it was a day to sing O Holy Night. I sing almost all day, O Holy Night. It was a blessing. I don't know all the words out of the top of my head, but I tell you what, that was wonderful. It just, I would pause, and about 5-10 minutes later, I find myself singing it again. What a blessing that was. Isn't that good when the Lord put the song in your heart? I mean, you can be crying, tears are coming down in your face, and the Lord puts a song in your heart. And you find yourself singing. Ever been there? God is good. God is good. Amen. So I conclude with this. Are you stressed or facing difficult times right now? Do like David did. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. That's what we need to do. We need to trust Him. In every single aspect of life, we need to trust Him. Well, make friends with God's people. Do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your providential hand in our lives. Lord, I do trust You, and I believe everyone here does the same. And help us, Lord, each and every day to remember You. And Lord, and to talk to You and to ask of You what directions we should go in life. Lord, it's easy for us to come to our own conclusions, but Lord, as much as a great blessing when we put You first in every situation of life that we face. Lord, bless each person here tonight. Bless those who are on social media as well. And if there's someone here or on social media never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may today they recognize their sin before you, confess it, and Lord, I call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.